You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome, welcome, welcome to a very energetic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob. And this is episode number 490, guys. As always, we thank you for hanging out with us. We really do appreciate it. Hope you're having a great day.
We do hope you're having a great day. And today we are talking about something really important. The question that came in was really asking, how do I get permission from my local airport to fly? Which we've talked about before. But it seems, though, that it's time to talk about the biggest thing that is holding up the drone industry. And I actually have an article coming out soon talking about this very issue that Vic and I, Vic Moss, instructor here at DroneU, have been working on collectively. And this is a very big issue. This is actually something I'm hoping to get out to the new president-elect. I'm trying to let him know and educate them on this issue. It is stifling our industry as a whole. It is causing the airspace to be unsafe. What are we talking about? We're talking about that little FAA portal.
It's actually causing people to reconsider whether or not they want to be in the drone business.
I've heard people
suggest that.
Like, really?
I don't know that I want to stick around because of this issue. A lot of people don't have the option. They don't have the option because they need to get things going.
See, what I've been hearing is that a lot of people are like, why even get the 107 if I'm going to run into this? Why not just keep operating the way I'm operating now?
There's that too, which is not good.
No, it's not. And there's actually a lot of it going on, even here in Albuquerque. There's a realtor who, I don't really actually know the guy very well, but I did a presentation. He's like, well, what's going to happen to me if I hire an unlicensed operator? And the FAA, they're not going to do anything to you. You could be subpoenaed in a court case. There could be legal liabilities. You know, if an unlicensed operator runs their drone into a house and it's your house as a realtor and you authorize the flight, and guess what? He's not licensed, so his insurance isn't covering him. So now they're coming after you.
Bottom line is, we don't know what could happen. It's unprecedented, but not pleasant things could happen.
Succinctly stated, Rob.
So anyways.
So today our show is talking about what is the one thing holding back the drone industry. But also, we're going to be talking about how you can get ATC permission to fly at the local airport. Because we all know waiting 90 days to get airspace authorization is absurd. But anyway, let's take a minute to talk positively. Let's talk about our sponsors for the show, which really do make this show happen. We are not like NPR. We're not going to ask you for donations for the show and then give you political information that has no backing. What we're going to do...
However, we do accept big donations.
It's not tax... What is it called? Tax deductible.
No, it's not.
Don't give us donations.
But don't let that stop you.
Anyway... A huge shout out to Rob over here for helping set us up with our publisher, Lioncrest Publishing, to get this book out, Living the Drone Life. It's funny, as I'm recording the audiobook, which has kind of happened over throughout the holidays with Ilker, our producer, I've noticed a few corrections I kind of want to make and some other things. And, you know, one thing I can't press enough, and if you do listen to the audiobook, you'll notice I say a few things that are... ancillary to the book, meaning little extra pieces of information.
You know what? Nothing wrong with that.
A
little bonus material.
It is definitely bonus material, and I'm a huge audiobook listener, so I wanted to give something special to all the people who are like me and they listen to books.
By the way, you said, Rob, we really need to give Tim a lot of credit. Tim doesn't get much credit.
It's true.
Because he's so behind the scenes, but the other bald guy, he really sort of spearheaded this project.
Totally.
And got it going and got it done, and so... Yeah,
it's really,
need to give him some props.
It's really the bald-headed bureau that took care of this, made Living the Drone Life happen, put it on Amazon. We were first in our category for 2 weeks running. I mean, it's just amazing. If you do get a chance, go to Amazon and check out Living the Drone Life. It is really the insider's guide to flying drones for fun and for profit. I really think of this as my collective thought on what a beginning drone pilot or any drone pilot should know.
Yeah.
And it's funny because some people are like, oh, well, I'm an experienced pilot. I don't need to know this stuff, like blah, blah, blah. And then I had someone write me an email yesterday and they said, Paul, I know I told you I didn't need to read your book, but after reading your book, I learned so much.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
No, it made me really happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think there's something that everyone can get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you are an experienced drone pilot, I think it provides clarity.
Absolutely.
So, and we all need clarity. I mean, I listen to How to Be Productive podcast by Freakonomics probably 4 or 5 times. So there's that.
Yeah, we both love to listen to podcasts. So I'm sure I've listened to things that people said, you're probably not going to need that. But you know what? You can always glean something beneficial out of it. And so we hope you'll check it out. It's good stuff.
Yeah. So Amazon.com, living the drone life. Check it out. Also, a big special thanks to our sponsor, VideoBlocks. In fact, I saw someone talking about this in the DroneU community just yesterday. Even someone outside of the community was on Facebook as well saying, hey, is there a deal on VideoBlocks? And I said, check it out. As a listener of Ask DroneU, go to VideoBlocks.com/drone2016 and get $150 off. That way you get copyright free videos and copyright free audio. You get motion graphics, you get sound bites, sound, you know, like if someone is like, oh, I'm gonna cuss, blah, 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 beep, and you need that sound, you can get it there. And it's all a part of your annual membership, which is
$149 for both.
That's right. So it's not 150 off, it's 100 off. I got that wrong.
It is $100 off, but it's a fantastic deal and hundreds of thousands of spots and audio files,
clips,
all kinds of things that you can incorporate into whatever it is that you're producing.
It's true, and it's very useful, very beneficial, huge library. You should go there right now. VideoBlocks.com/drone2016. And for the caller who called in saying they don't like it when I say meow, meow.
Oh boy.
Take that, meow.
All right, let's play the question.
Let's do it.
Hey guys, my name is Houston Brown, and my question today is, how does one go about getting permission from a local municipal airport to fly within a 5 mile or 5 nautical mile radius of that airport? It's a small airport. It's not a controlled airport. I don't know what class the airport or the airspace actually is at this point, but I was wondering if you could give some guidelines on how to go about getting permission. Thanks. Watch you guys all the time. Great show. Keep up the great work. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Love the name, by the way, Houston Brown. That's got a nice ring to it. So
it definitely does. Wait a minute. Am I the only one? You know, there's this whole nautical and statute mile thing with the FAA. Am I the only one who, whenever someone says nautical, I think of like the old man with the watch on a long gold chain and he's got the little gold eyeglass
piece? Yes,
he's
you
like, nautical, yes. That's what I think of every time someone says
that. You're definitely the only one in this room.
Okay.
I don't know about other people out there listening. But anyways, I think this is one of those questions that has a very simple answer that is also a very complex answer.
Succinctly stated, go through the portal. You have 90 days. That's what the FAA tells you. But, wait. All right. So in this article that I've been writing with Vic, it's funny because what happens is I write a draft, send it to him. He writes a draft, sends it to me. I shorten his, he lengthens mine. So it's like,
well,
it's
it is going to be when the article comes out, you guys are going to want to check this out. Houston, you in particular are going to want to check this out, but just packed with information that goes into kind of the background to answering this question.
It's totally true, because at first when we all heard about NPRM 107 back in, June of last year, 2016, we were really excited, because in the NPRM 107, it specifically stated that in consideration whether to grant permission to a small UAS to fly in controlled airspace, ATC will consider the specific nature of the small UAS operation and risk the operation poses to other air traffic in that controlled airspace. ATC facilities have the authority to approve or deny aircraft operations based on traffic density, controller workload, communications issues, or any other type of operation that would potentially impact the safe and expeditious flow of air traffic. So pay special attention to the fact that they say ATC facilities have the authority to approve or deny aircraft operations, right?
Mm-hmm.
That wording is published. It's federal law.
Yeah. That's in the registry.
That's what the actual law says.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the FAA does their whole, we're going to interpret this on our own.
And we know from other aspects of government that sort of the new way of doing things, and maybe it isn't new, but it's certainly prevalent lately, and that is put out these big, huge laws and then let it be interpreted in time as to what it's going to mean practically. And I mean, that's kind of the way the government's been doing things.
I was just going to say, I feel like the government is like, let's see what sticks to the wall, because I was thinking about this the other day as I saw someone getting pulled over. It's like, you know what? It's not the police or the government that really controls laws. It's society. What do they allow to be a law? You know, like for the perfect example is medical marijuana. You know what I mean?
A lot of passionate people that got behind that.
It's true, you know, and there's a lot of states that are passing it, and yeah. There are. What is it? It conflicts with federal law.
Right.
Yet, Attorney General was like, we're not coming after anyone.
Yeah.
Because society overwhelmingly is like, it's stupid.
Right.
So that's what my point is, that society really does control the legal atmosphere. Anyway, okay. October 23rd, 2016. We're fast forwarding. We thought, oh man, 107 comes out. This is great. Opening up the floodgates. That might have been a little disingenuous to say by the FAA, because they didn't really open the floodgates, and they really closed the floodgates on October 23rd of 2016.
And I would say not intentionally, if that matters. And I don't know that you would agree with that, but nonetheless, it is what it is. Carry on.
I think that it's impossible to know intention without talking to the person.
That's true.
I've reached out to this person.
I'm speculating.
Multiple times, and she has said nada. She's probably said nothing because it's the holiday season, government mindset. They never went to work this week, you know.
Indeed.
Okay. That's not how every government worker is, but this is how I view government workers. Just not passionate people. Anyway, other than Kevin Morris, who is a straight G. All right. Anyway, on October 23rd, 2016, the FAA order, JO 7200.23, went into effect. JO 7200.23 is the official order for how local ATC personnel are instructed to handle SUAS calls to their facilities for not only both hobby, but commercial as well. Section B, paragraph 1 of this order states, in the event of a Part 107 operator contacts an ATC facility directly for authorization, the facility must not issue the authorization. The facility must direct the operator to the FAA UAS website. That is a direct conflict on the very wording of the published law in the registry as stated before.
Mm-hmm.
This order was initiated by the FAA's emerging technology team and signed on August 19th by Heather Hemdahl, H-E-M-D-A-L, in case you're wondering, Director of Air Traffic Procedures. Hey, Heather, can you change that? I'm just going to ask nicely once. Thanks. All right.
I'm sure that'll take care of it.
Yeah, we probably won't.
It's coming up January 7th.
But I also have a house in D.C., so I can just take a nice little flight home and go to her office and knock on the door.
And just have a little chat.
Just have a nice little chat. Maybe some coffee, espresso, a little creamer on the side.
No, don't do espresso.
I'll talk too fast.
Yeah, maybe a little coffee. A little. But that's how government works, right? We express our feelings respectfully and hopefully they respond.
I think that's so important. I think it's just so important because I reached out to her office and I was like, look, you know, people are pissed off about this.
Yeah.
But I want to give you an opportunity to explain, like, you know, why? Why did you do this?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. And we want to...
Oh, well, that we know of, it makes no sense.
Correct. And you're giving us an opportunity to empathize with you on why
understand.
You did this, you know? No response.
Although you did talk to somebody from her office and she expressed that person that they would be interested possibly...
This is correct.
And coming on at some point, that just hasn't worked out yet, but we hope it will.
I do not want to assume that they will not come on the show. I want to assume that in time they will come on the show.
Yeah. And so, who knows what, you know, they need timing-wise, information-wise, in order to come on and feel like they're equipped to answer the questions adequately. So
true.
We'll
which
give
is
them
Kevin,
the benefit of the doubt.
Which is what Kevin says all the time. I even messaged Kevin about coming on and talking about this very thing, to have the FAA come on and talk. And he's game, super game, just busy this week. So
going
to have to get him on. But going back to it, succinctly stating, his question is, how do I get permission from a local airport? Well, the law says that you just call and get authorization, but this new order from Heather Hemdahl, JO7200.23, is saying that you're supposed to go through this online portal to get airspace approval. But you're supposed to give them 90 days.
Yeah, and by the way, I can sort of understand. I mean, I think we can see the writing on the wall that if you've got whatever, how many thousands of drones being put into the market every month, all those people are starting to call the air traffic controllers, and they're getting flooded.
Yeah.
And they don't have the capacity to handle those calls. So they say, okay, let's create a portal. I can understand that thinking. It's the 90 days that is a real issue. I mean, if this was like 24 hours, I don't think anybody would have a problem with
that. Well, I mean, Kevin Morris, the FAA, did say that their intention was to have an up-to-date app where someone could go on and get permission within seconds to fly. The problem is they're hoping to have that in a year. And it's like, you don't have that time, FAA. Like, I'm not trying to say this to be nefarious or rude, but you really don't. DJI sold 250,000 drones in December. That's just DJI. That's not unique. That's not 3DR, even though 3DR has kind of fallen off. That's not Autel. That's not, what is it, the...
Parrot. I mean, any of
Parrot,
those.
Parrot, or yeah, the GPU bird, the Pro Drone, whatever it is, whatever it's called. You know, there are hundreds of drone manufacturers, and we only know of sales from one, and it equates to almost 30% of all registered aircraft in the country in 1 month of sales.
Right.
How many of those birds were really registered? You know, and they say like, oh, so many drones have been registered under our Part 48 system. It's incredible. Well, no one has actually said this in the media, but there are more registered drones than there are registered manned aircraft.
Yeah.
We overtook them in 1 month.
And so all of that does speak to the ATC not being equipped to handle that kind of influx.
I
totally understand that.
I think that's perceivable. That's a correct perception, but... Let's face the music here. The FAA is shorthanded on just about everything.
Sure.
So whether it's ATC with the ATC manager or whether it's people reading these emails at the portal office, I mean, we know from Kevin Morris that they tripled their staff and we were jokingly saying, oh, does that mean from 1 to 3? No, 3 to 9 people. Mm-hmm. But still to handle, you know, these orders and to request for 90 days is absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a phone call down in Puerto Rico where it was like, hey, I see you're down there. I've got two properties you need to fly. Can you go do it? It's like,
right.
Yep.
Not in 91 days.
No.
Like, can you go fly in the next couple of days?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And most of my jobs, like I've got a job scheduled for in January down in West Texas area. And that's probably the most scheduled that I've been in a long time.
Yeah.
January 10th. So.
Yeah, that's unusual. And that's still not that far out.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
And it's
I don't
like,
know when you heard from that person, but...
Yeah, yesterday.
Okay, there you go. A couple weeks.
So it's like, how... This isn't unrealistic. And what this is doing, this order is actually creating a less safe area. Because they're requesting 90 days...
Because people are flying anyways.
That's right. You said it. Thank you.
That's the reality. So for Houston, the answer to the question is he's supposed to go to the portal.
Yes. The answer is he is supposed to, but the law states that ATC has the authority to approve or deny you. So,
does the order supersede?
No.
It doesn't?
No.
Okay.
We talk about this in our book. The orders have no legal justification whatsoever.
All right.
So
that said, the whole
idea that I think Heather Hemdahl and the executive team was trying to create a system of which to funnel these people through because they thought it was going to be a lot of numbers. But the system has made the airspace less safe because people are flying anyway. Mm-hmm. They're not going through the portal. People are still calling ATC. I still call ATC all the time because I don't want to get in trouble. The law states if I have permission from ATC, I'm good to fly. So that's what I do.
But now, they've been told not to give you that permission.
That's correct.
But if you have a relationship,
they give you
the permission. They may still do that.
Yes, they
All
do.
Right. And so there you go, Houston. That's...
I have gotten permission. I don't want to throw these like ATC operators under the bus.
Let's
so I'm
not.
Just going to give states instead of
okay.
counties or cities.
Somewhere in Florida, the United States.
Florida, Texas, California, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona. Everywhere I've gotten permissions.
Yeah. So
because what I'm hearing is that, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to give the perception that I've heard from air traffic controllers, which is they're saying is like, I'm supposed to be the local expert on this airspace. I'm supposed to know where the obstacles are. I'm supposed to know what flight patterns are supposed to come in, what, you know, VFR headings or IFR headings, whatever. You know, I'm supposed to be the person that looks over all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get something from Washington headquarters that says there's going to be a drone, you know, 3 days from now, which is kind of the same type of lead time they're giving them because they approve these waivers and then they go to the local ATC. It's not helping them keep things safe.
Sure.
If I call ATC and I say, hey, look, I'm going to be two nautical miles on a heading of 160 off of your main center point. I'm not on approach or anything. I'm going to 150 feet. Do you think that that is going to be an issue to fly? And most people, most air traffic controllers will say, I see no issue for you to fly because there is no risk to safety. If I saw that there was a risk to safety, I would deny you right now.
Yeah, which they should, obviously.
I agree.
Obviously.
But the funny thing is, if you listen to what I said, they never say you're approved.
Right.
And even in the guidance from JO 7200, they are given the guidance to never approve a hobby flight either, even though a hobbyist is supposed to call in to ATC. That's what really gives me the anger goosebumps, because at the end of the day, a hobbyist who's not making money calls ATC, and it doesn't really matter what
they
say.
Doesn't even require permission.
No.
It's just notification,
exactly.
Right? That still stands.
But a commercial guy in the same area has to file some BS stupid government website thing that says you need 90 days permission, and it's just not realistic.
Right.
You know, this isn't, if the government controlled the economy, if the government controlled all things business, we would turn out like every other communist regime, and it wouldn't be good, and people wouldn't be happy, right? This is, in this global economy, it is market dynamics. It is fluid dynamics, and the markets depict what is going to happen in the future. If the markets don't like what's happening, there's a correction, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And in this case, I think the biggest concern is that people are flying anyway because of the parameters that they're being told they should fly in.
And that's
why. And we hear that.
Yep.
We do. And it's too bad. As far as Houston is concerned, basically,
sorry,
if you were in his shoes...
I ranted.
No, it's one of those issues. If you were in his shoes, it sounds like the thing to do would be to develop a relationship with ATC for this airport. It sounds like that's an area that he's going to be flying in maybe regularly.
I agree. And I think starting a relationship is good. Take them out to lunch, get to know them, become their friend. And I truly mean that. Don't fake it. Like, really get to know the person.
Yeah.
But I also think it's super critical on how you talk to these people. And a lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people have told me, Paul, the way that you talk to people is kind of manipulative. And I say, interesting perspective. No, I'm kidding.
He begins to manipulate.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, I think life is a game. I mean, literally like the board game, you know? Do you get a job? Do you work hard? Do you have a family? Do you buy a car? Do you have a Ferrari? You know, I mean, like, the decisions you make in life have a real and everlasting effect on how you live. And part of that, because I see life as a game, I see perception as a game as well, because perception is reality, and what people hear in the news becomes their reality. Even though you walk outside, you're not going to see someone get shot, you're not going to see someone get stabbed. Chances are you're probably not going to see that 99.9% of the time that you come to work, right?
I'm hoping not.
How long have we been in this new office?
Year and a half.
And how many people have you seen get shot or stabbed?
None, thankfully.
But yet there are mass murders and people dying everywhere, all over the news, and Albuquerque's the fifth most violent city in the country, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But that's not the reality that most of us live in.
True.
But the perception is that, like, oh, we got a troubled society.
True.
You know, and it's like, the thing is that if you can tell a story in a way that makes someone empathize with you, the chances of you getting what you want are going to be much better. I'm talking about the primer effect, social, cognitive, behavioral tendencies.
Just be kind to people, right?
That respectful. Works too.
I mean, I think we're eventually kind of getting to the same place in what we're saying. Be kind to them. And I think probably a lot of these guys, I could be wrong. I don't know. But I think they've been sitting, maybe they want to have conversations with people that are doing interesting things.
I've had like a 30-minute convo with ATC once.
Yeah, I mean,
about this very
issue. In a lot of cases, and again, I don't know exactly what's going on in their particular situations when they're on the job, but my hunch is they're open to chatting with people. And
my hunch is that they're human,
yeah,
and that they're people just like us, and they want the best thing for society just like we do.
Absolutely.
And that being said, you know, you talk about being kind, but I'm talking about being more specific. So instead of saying, hey, Rob, nice to meet you. My name is Paul. I'm a drone pilot. You know, will that work? Maybe. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. But hey, Rob, my name is Paul. I'm a drone pilot with DroneU. And, you know, the whole portal thing has been quite burdensome to pilots. And I was just hoping that maybe you could help me out. Without saying what, you're asking for someone's help. Do people like to help out other people? Does it make you feel good?
I think just about everybody likes to help other people.
Unless they're completely conceited. But yes, I agree. So when you ask someone for their help, and you ask someone for their help to navigate things, you know, he may push back and say, well, the FAA tells me, blah, blah. And then you say, well, I know, but the code of federal regulations, AKA the law, the black and white, says that you have the power. I got the power.
Yeah. And then, of course, he may say, yes, but my boss via this order has said. And I think the thing to remember is that if that is the response, you need to respect that. Because if you blow up and you get...
You're such a good guy.
Well, no, and thank you. But I'm also thinking practically, if you blow up, I mean, you could win them over time.
Totally.
So you can't react negatively extremely because you don't get what you want.
And you can't have expectations either. And you have to make sure that the perception is that you have no expectation.
Yeah. So you can have hopes. Dreams, and obviously you're there with
aspirations.
A hope.
Aspirations.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you wouldn't be there if you didn't hope to get what you want, right?
That's what she said.
On that note.
On that terrible, that's what she said, bombshell. That's going to do it for us today. We've talked about this before. We're coming out with an article on it. We're coming out with an article really, though, so that you guys are educated. You can spread the information because as a collective, we can change this. It will take time, but society does rule. And frankly, Heather, I think that your intentions were good. I'm sure to try to systemize this, but I just don't think you guys were ready. And I don't think this is making our national airspace system safer, which is why I am anti-JO7200.23. But I am not anti-Heather.
Or anti-FAA.
Or anti-FAA. My heart, see this? My heart goes out to you, Heather. Anyway,
all right.
That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask DroneU. And don't forget to go to Amazon and check out Living the Drone Life.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the DroneU.